Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC. The World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together. We work together. We respect each other. We like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is it. Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but hardly duplicated 37, no, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I've won some awards for my boxing. Really, I know a little bit about boxing, but guess what? Today's show, the first hour anyway, we're going to concentrate on the negative aspect of boxing. I'm talking about brain damage, CTE. I'm going to have a hard time saying this, but chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Bottom line is, CTE is prevalent in all of combat sports, and I'm talking about contact sports as well. I'm talking about the NFL. In other words, we'll hear from Ken Norton Jr., the son of the former World Heavyweight Champion. Speaking of World Heavyweight Champion, I was with a bunch of them up in Sacramento. Ken Norton, George Foreman, Muhammad Ali, Larry Holmes. Only Larry Holmes and George Foreman didn't show the immediate residual effects of professional boxing. Foreman may be the exception to the rule, but if you look at Frazier and Ali and Jimmy Ellis and all those guys of the era, those guys were damaged beyond repair. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a special edition coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. Once again, the toll-free 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or you can text me, the studio text line. Here's the number. The studio text line, 415-275-1613. Text me here in the studio, 415-275-1613. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, emanating from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay. Stay tuned after the break.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Attention small business owners. The IRS has just released a notice that businesses eligible to file for the Employee Retention Credit should not file with companies charging a percentage of their ERC refund. These companies have been shown to overqualify businesses, leaving the business owner open to audits and tax penalties. ERTCfiling.com helps small business owners file their Employee Retention Credit forms accurately and at a cost that is a fraction of their competitors. And most importantly, ERTCfiling.com charges a flat fee, not a percentage of what you get back. So there's never a worry about overqualification. Businesses that were open in 2020 and 2021 and subject to any COVID government mandate, such as a capacity limitation, social distancing, supply chain issues, and increased vendor costs, will qualify. You do not need to have a reduction in revenue to qualify for this program. Stop any work you're doing with your current Employee Retention Credit provider and call 833-GET-ERTC or go to ERTCfiling.com to schedule your free 30-minute consultation today.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The collisions that the guys have, and, you know, being out of the game now and watching the collisions and the hard work, and, you know, some kids, some of the players, you know, dying on the field. It's, you see the game from a different light. When you're playing, you don't really realize exactly how dangerous it is. And when you get out of it and look at it, you think, wow, you know, get up from that hit, you know, get up from that collision. You don't realize that, you know, football is extremely dangerous game.
What is it that allowed you or any football player then to endure that type of physicality and pain?
You know, you can't really put a finger on anything, any one thing, because you're just one play away. You just have to continue to play hard, keep your feet moving, and you have to be blessed. You have to have a lot of blessing and luck with you.
You know, I think about your dad being a boxer, and I guess the physical kind of pain he had to deal with was almost similar. Was there a similarity to that with what your dad had to deal with in boxing as well, you think?
I don't know. I don't know about that. Boxing, you don't have a helmet on, and, you know, these guys are hitting you in the head, and it's different. You know, you're standing right in front of a guy in boxing, hitting him with no helmet on. In football, you're running. Sometimes you're running 50, 60 yards full speed, and you're just running right into somebody. So, you know, toughness, that part might be similar because you have to be tough. And football is a game that if you're not tough, you know, you'll find out real quick. In boxing, if you're not tough and you got a soft chin, you know, they'll find
it. Ken Norton Jr., of course, the son of WBC heavyweight title holder Ken Norton. Of course, Ken Norton, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman. The foursome, of course, the four great heavyweights of the 1970s. Bottom line is, Ken Norton suffered from CT. How do I know this? Because I had dealt with Ken Norton. I had dealt with him at different events. And when I dealt with these different boxers, you know, you could see the residual effects from professional boxing. It really took their toll. I mean, on Norton especially, Joe Frazier was really in bad shape as far as things were concerned. Muhammad Ali, of course, I spent a lot of time around him. You can't say that damage wasn't caused by boxing. I mean, yes, he did have Parkinson's disease or Parkinson's syndrome. And, of course, that's an issue that Coward Cosell had, and he never took a punch in his entire life. But the bottom line is the damage, the residual effects from professional boxing, especially for Muhammad Ali in the gym, the beatings he took in the gym after coming back after, of course, the three-year layoff from 1967 and 1970, of course, coming back with the Jerry Quarry fight in 1970 with winning that fight, Oscar Bonavena, and then, of course, the big fight, March 8th, 1971, with Joe Frazier. Of course, that took a lot of damage out of both men. Joe Frazier was never the same after that. In fact, when I look at these guys later in life, you know, I study them. And I let's put it this way. I'm a private investigator. I was a cop for 10 years in San Francisco, but that means I watch people. And when I'm watching, like, I'll be waiting for somebody to come out of a building, this and that, right? Well, they don't come out of the building like till like an hour, 2 hours later. So for 2 or 3 hours, I'm watching all these people coming and going. So I'm watching people all the time. And in the sport of professional boxing, I studied people and I watched them, their speech patterns from early on to where they are nowadays. I mean, yeah, even truth that some singers lose their voices, isn't that? But it isn't the same thing. I mean, I see these guys slowing down. And sometimes I see their reflexes not working the way they should and this and that. And then with a telltale sign of the residual effects of professional boxing, when I look at some guys, is that one eye is smaller or shut more than the other. In other words, you look at them and the one eye is just a little off. In other words, you're looking straight at them, right? And one eye is looking dead at you and the other eye is like looking across the room. Okay, so that's another sign of the residual effects. I think I saw that in Shane Mosley. That's what I saw. I thought personally in Shane Mosley, of course, the former lightweight and welterweight champion of the world. And I saw it in James Page, of course, the former WBA welterweight title holder. Of course, what do they call him? The double knit bandit, James Page, of course, the WBA. I think we were in the Golden Gloves together. So he won the WBA welterweight title, which was a stunning move. And then his mother, like, screwed him out of it by right trying to out negotiate Don King. But the bottom line is he was going around robbing banks. He went down to Arkansas and Mississippi, robbed a bunch of banks down there. And of course, you know, they're not too kind of black guys robbing banks in Mississippi. Not anywhere, but especially in Mississippi, right? So he got like 10 years for that. So he comes back to California. What does he do? He doesn't start boxing again. Goes back to bank robbing. He's the button-down bandit or something. Like, he robbed like 8 banks in the East Bay, and they finally caught him on that one. I don't know if he's in the jail, and I think he's out right now. But the bottom line is you can see the damage accumulating in these guys. I can just see it. And you sort of want to stop them. You want to say to them, you know what? I think you're going down the wrong. How do you stop somebody when they're making a living? How can you do it? In boxing, football, the NFL, guys I went to high school with, I didn't understand it. I couldn't understand it when, like, you know, they were goofy and they weren't good. And it wasn't alcohol. It was like they were goofy. And I couldn't figure it out. I say to myself, what the hell was it? But they were punch drunk from them football helmets going back and forth. You heard Ken Norton Jr., the former coach of the Oakland Raiders. You heard him talk boom, boom, boom. Those heads coming together at 15, 20 miles an hour. Guys running 35, 40 yards at full steam. And some guys waiting to hit you head on. Come on. Something's got to give there. And believe me, it's not the helmet. Okay? So we've got to look at combat sports and the NFL for what it is. Is it worth it? Is boxing worth it? I thought about that the other day. You know, the risks that you run when you box, I mean, I never thought about getting punched drunk or anything like that when I started boxing. Of course, I boxed because I sort of had to. I mean, not really had to. Some guy took my quarter off a pinball machine. We were playing the pinball machines in the Mission District, in 29th and Mission, in Jim's Donut Shop. And he took my quarter off the pinball machine. And when he took the quarter, it was either I had to stand up for that quarter or I was going to get punked out forever by this guy, okay? And he was bigger than me. His name was Guy Lambert. He was bigger than me. Might have been a year older than me, maybe two. But anyway, he was bigger than me. We were in the same grade, I think, but he was just bigger than me. He was like almost a man. So anyway, I had to take him outside. I mean, if I didn't take him outside, they were going to punk me out for the rest of my life, okay? So I took him outside, and I'm thinking on the way out, man, this dude is big, this dude is big, this dude is big. But then I looked out and realized he had dress shoes on. This is the best way you want to fight a guy. That's why you want to fight guys in nightclubs. You want to wear rubber-soled shoes, and when you go to nightclubs, in case you get into a fight, because the other guys don't have rubber-soled shoes on, and they got leather-soled shoes on, and they're slipping and sliding like they're wearing ice skates. But the bottom line is Guy Lambert was slipping and sliding all over the sidewalk, and I punched him into oblivion. And Eddie Machen, who fought Sonny Liston, of course, lost the World Heavyweight Championship to Muhammad Ali back in 1964. But the bottom line is Eddie Machen pulled me off of Guy Lambert. And, of course, so he said to me, you know, you need to learn how to box. And that's what sort of brought me into the world of boxing. I learned how to box in his front room. He had an apartment on 29th and Mission above the Chinese restaurant there. It's still there. The Chinese restaurant is still there. The apartment's still there. Anyway, he had an apartment on the third floor. And I would go up there, and he would have me shadow box. Or he'd have me throw a jab. And he'd say, you know what? I want 500 jabs. I mean, come on, man. I was like, you know, a 12, 13-year-old kid. So, oh, come on. But I did it. I wanted to do it, okay? I wanted to do it. So Machen got me into a point where he says, you know what? You're ready for the next level. I said, what's the next level? So I went down to the boys club, and we started doing smokers down there. He didn't work the corner. He sat in the crowd. But the bottom line is these smokers were like one-minute rounds. Give me a one-minute round on anybody, I'll still beat you. For 1 minute,
I still go, yeah, I can go 1 minute in a lot of ways. Anyway, but the bottom line is 1 minute was nothing. So I was smoking these kids at 1 minute rounds, right? I mean, smoking them. I think it was six or seven of them went in these quick smokers. And one guy, I think, did make it the, we went 3 1-minute rounds. One guy did make it 3 1-minute rounds. But the rest of the guys just, they couldn't hang with me. Couldn't hang with the wind. It was just too much force coming at them. But the bottom line is when I moved to 2 minutes is when I lost my first fight. Of course, I thought I was all cocky and this and that. And then some guy with a little bit more experience than me named Eddie Smith, he beat me. And of course, and when I look at Eddie Smith, of course, he ended up dying via, I don't know if it was suicide or a drug-related condition, but I saw him about 6 or 7 months before he died. And I could see the residual effects of boxing and drugs and what they had done to him. And it was alarming. I mean, I didn't do this to him, but I remember him sparring in the gym and taking lunches. Here's what's up. That's why I thought I could beat him, is that he would get beat up in the gym, and the guy beat me in a real fight. Anyway, but the bottom line is I saw him in the 7-Eleven about 6 or 7 months before he died, and he was in bad shape. He was buying a beer. You know, when guys buy single beers, that's never a good sign of their economic status and or their the sobriety, okay? So anyway, he's buying a beer. He doesn't recognize me at all. I'm just got done doing my road work, this and that, so I'm all sweaty, this and that. People in the 7-Eleven know who I am because I come in and I buy water after I run each night, okay? Or I used to buy water after I run each night. So anyway, I get the water, this and I say, Eddie Smith. So I see Eddie over there. So Eddie's like, you know, Eddie's messed up. So anyway, I said to him, I said, hey, I said, you see that guy over there? And the guy in the 7-Eleven goes, yeah. I go, that's the first guy to beat me. I said, yeah, I know I won all these Golden Glove championships, but this is the first guy to beat me right here, Eddie Smith. And Eddie couldn't focus on it at first. I mean, he was sort of like lost. He was like in another world. It took him about 25 or 30 seconds to figure out what time it was and where he was at. And then I realized, I said to myself, man, this could be me, all right? And this could be me. So the bottom line is I didn't take no beatings in the gym. When I saw these guys getting whooped on in the gym, I never wanted to take no lickings in the gym. That's why I always try to fight my best in the gym, because I think that's where all the damage takes place. I think it takes place in the gym. I mean, yeah, maybe getting knocked out is not fun. You get knocked out in real fights. But I'm just talking about the punishment guys take in the gym, because I used to watch guys. I mean, when I think of Dana Holly, he was our sparring partner down there in South San Francisco for about 3 years. I think we gave him brain damage. I'm not bragging about that. I'm not bragging about it. I'm not. What I'm just trying to tell you is that he was the toughest guy we ever had in our entire life, and we just beat on him like he was a bongo drum for years, okay, in the South City Boys Club. And what happened to him later in life? He ended up murdering somebody. I visited him down there when I was a cop. I visited him at the San Francisco County Jail. He was booked on a murder charge. So, I mean, am I saying boxing did that to him? I said, no, boxing didn't do that to him. But guess what? Boxing and drugs did that to him. In other words, a lot of ugly, ugly stories from the residual effects of professional boxing, combat sports, contact sports, the NFL. I go on and on. Bottom line is, we'll hear from John Bray. Of course, one time he was the best amateur in the United States as far as heavyweights are concerned. Of course, he became a fantastic professional fighter, and we'll talk about him, his career, and of course his recent visits to the Mayo Clinic for possible brain damage regarding boxing. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Attention small business owners. The IRS has just released a notice that businesses eligible to file for the Employee Retention Credit should not file with companies charging a percentage of their ERC refund. These companies have been shown to overqualify businesses, leaving the business owner open to audits and tax penalties. ERTCfiling.com helps small business owners file their Employee Retention Credit forms accurately and at a cost that is a fraction of their competitors. And most importantly, ERTCfiling.com charges a flat fee, not a percentage of what you get back. So there's never a worry about overqualification. Businesses that were open in 2020 and 2021 and subject to any COVID government mandate, such as a capacity limitation, social distancing, supply chain issues, and increased vendor costs, will qualify. You do not need to have a reduction in revenue to qualify for this program. Stop any work you're doing with your current Employee Retention Credit provider and call 833-GET-ERTC or go to ERTCfiling.com to schedule your free 30-minute consultation today.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
My next guest is a real fighter. Of course, a solid amateur, one of the best in the country, without a doubt. Of course, turned professional as a heavyweight, as smallest heavyweight. But bottom line is, John Bray was an outstanding fighter, both as an amateur and a professional. We feel blessed to have him on today's show. John, how's life treating you?
Treating me good.
Okay.
Nice.
Let's talk about your amateur career. How many amateur fights did you have?
I'm not really sure. It was over 100.
Okay, over 100. And did... do you think that when I talk to guys and people say to me, you know, where do you think the damage took place? Where do you think a lot of the damage takes place? You did a lot of sparring. Do you think there's more damage in the gym than there is in fights?
Absolutely.
Okay, describe that to me. I mean, what's it like? I mean, who are the guys that you've sparred with?
Well, I'll tell you this. I was a national elite at like 14 years old.
Yeah.
And a national champion at 15 years old in the Junior Olympics. So I was already sparring professional world contenders and world champions at 14, 15 years old. If you're not protecting yourself by feeding your body sports supplements and proteins and carbohydrates, and if you don't know about everything like that that's out there for you, you know... Yeah.
Okay, but you know, I brought up Dana Holley. Here was a guy that we sparred with, John, we're like 15, 16, 17 years old, 3 years in a row, and we did it every Tuesday and Thursday night at the Boys Club in South City, and he was nothing, he was a face fighter. But he was a rough, tough dude. If he got you in the corner, he would kill you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is he took a lot of shots. And then he ended up pulling some crazy stuff and killing somebody a couple of years later. And I said to myself, you know, was that from the residual effects of the beatings that me and Hector and these guys put on him? Because those lickings in the gym, there's no doctor there. There's nobody to stop it.
Yeah, I definitely have to say, yeah, that's probably had something to do with it. It, you know, getting a hit on the side of your head or anywhere in your head, it's no good. It does damage. So you have to try to prevent it. You have to try to keep your brain and your body healthy and strong and keep your body fed so that it can absorb this punishment and recover and rehabilitate itself in between your sparring sessions and your fights.
You know, John, but when we spar as boxers, we're standing up, and we hit each other, and the head goes back a little bit, and the neck sort of absorbs a blow, and the head goes backwards to an extent. If you're on the ground like these MMA guys are, and when you're hitting guys on the ground, there's nowhere for their head to go. I don't think those blows should be legal. I don't think they should be able to hit guys on the ground.
I don't either. I've actually worked a couple of MMA fights, cornering, helping out, just doing cuts, working cuts for Edmund Tavard and when he had Ronda Rousey. And I can't believe how brutal that is. From my perspective as a cornerman, as a cut man, I was surprised. It's a lot more brutal than boxing is, in my opinion.
You know, John, there have been a few fights that I've went to in the UFC where I've actually, and listen, I've been doing this a long time. I'm an old man. I had 52 amateur fights, things like that, seen a lot. But the bottom line is when I go to some couple of UFC fights, I have to turn my face away from looking at it because it's so damaging. You know what I'm saying? You know that this guy is not going to be the same after this.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I've even seen fights where, well, on TV, where these UFC guys kick each other and they break each other's legs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nuts.
That and the choking, this and that. You know what's funny is I was looking, not so funny, but you look at these statistics. If you're a boxer, if you're a boxer, the age of 30, you should probably stop as far as the brain's concerned. That's the way it looks like as far as the stats are concerned. But if you're an MMA guy, you're three times more likely to suffer CTE than you are a boxer. If you're a National Football League player, you're twice as likely to suffer CTE. Now tell me, when you went to the Mayo Clinic, why did you go to the Mayo Clinic?
I was having issues, and, you know, I needed to see somebody. I mean, I was having, like, major issues with my behavior just because of my thought process. I was having hot flashes. I found out I developed neuropathy because of all the head blows. I've developed CTE, TBI. But it's fixable, you know. As long as you get diagnosed, you know what your problem is, then you go to a neurologist, and the neurologist puts you on medication. That's the only way you're going to get better or maintain anything that you do have left. You know, it takes a lot out of you.
How do you feel when you wake up in the morning?
Now or before?
Now.
Great. Let's go running. Okay. I'm going to go walk my dog, Charlie.
Yeah, speaking of running, you look like you've been gaining a little bit of weight lately. What's up with that?
You don't believe it? If they do. When I did the Contender season four Singapore, right?
Yeah.
I was 307 pounds.
How'd you get that big?
Just eating and drinking. It's, of course, drinking beer, eating fattening foods. So I cut out the alcohol. I cut out eating out and everything else, so I'm down to 250 right now.
Yeah, which here I'll do some self confessions here. At one point in time, I was going out with a socialite here in San Francisco that she was like to bring me all these parties. I got up to 204 pounds drinking. I wasn't smoking weed. Oof. All I was doing was drinking, and then I realized, you know what? Something's wrong with this picture here. I got to lose some weight. Bottom line is, I quit drinking and I lost. I'm down to like 152 now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, drinking is just empty calories.
And you know what?
You're
but here's
what's
up. When you drink and your face sort of grimaces and your body like that, I mean, it's sort of telling you, hey, man, this stuff is not good.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It doesn't go down like milk.
Exactly.
It doesn't go down like milk. Hey, John, what do you think of the current world? I'll tell you what, you got some time to stick around with us today?
Yeah.
Okay, because we're going to go to a break in about 2 minutes. But the bottom line is, did you get to see Anthony Joshua yesterday?
No, I didn't see the fight, but I saw pictures of him and Derek James. Now, remember, I was on USA teams with Derek James.
Yeah.
He's a very talented fighter, very talented trainer. He's got a lot of knowledge. He should do well.
Yeah, but John, you can't make chicken soup out of chicken spit, can you?
No, you can't.
So is Anthony, you know, and I've always been of the, listen, at one point in time, I was so high on Joshua, 2012 Olympic gold medals. I mean, think about this, John, 6'7", black, and he's got all that reach and this and that. I mean, nobody should be able to beat a guy that big.
Yeah, you're right.
And he gets licked by a guy that weighs 30 pounds lighter than him.
Yeah, no good.
And he got beat by a fat man and lost to an obese, in Andy Ruiz, and then beat an obese man in Andy Ruiz in the comeback. Ruiz went to camp at 317 pounds.
Wow.
It's the heavyweight champion of the world. How serious can you be? I don't know. Anyway, bottom line is, John Bray's going to stick around. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside. Look at the world of boxing and MMA. Speaking of Anthony Joshua, who was a 10-round winner, tucked back a 12-round winner over Jermaine Franklin. Didn't impress anybody, not even Jermaine Franklin. The TV people weren't impressed, as were the sold-out crowd in the UK. So the bottom line is, they're finally getting hip to Anthony Joshua. At least I think so, all except the girls. Bottom line is, we're talking boxing, CTE, and of course combat sports with John Bray right after the break.
Sponsored by Meta. It's important that people, especially young people, connect with others on social media in an environment where they feel safe. Instagram has launched many features to help. Quiet mode gives people more ways to focus and set healthier boundaries. Once enabled, people won't receive any notifications, their status will change, and Instagram will send an auto-reply to messages. Instagram prompts teens to turn on quiet mode, but it is available to everyone in the U.S. Dana Geldwert at Instagram.
Quiet mode gives teens another way to take time for themselves, like at night, while studying, and during school. We also send notifications encouraging teens to take regular breaks. We nudge them towards other types of content if they've been looking at the same topic for a while. And we have parental supervision features that let parents and teens navigate social media together. We'll continue to work closely with parents, experts, and policymakers on new features so teens can foster their relationships in a positive, supportive environment.
For more details, please visit familycenter.meta.com.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A+ BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service, featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. That's 800-867-6917.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
It's macho time.
The Harlem Heckler. May he rest in peace. Hector Macho Camacho. What a personality, both in the ring and out of the ring. Of course, I called him the Harlem Heckler. I thought he would get mad when I gave him that nickname. He told me in the elevator one time, that's the greatest name anybody's ever given me. I said, whoa, really? The Harlem Heckler? I love this. Right on, Hector. Hector Camacho, the Macho Man, a.k.a. the Harlem Heckler. We go back to the phone lines, take it to Southern California, of course, and bring in the outstanding heavyweight. At one point in time, when he retired, I believe he was 15-3. With two draws and five KOs. Talk about John Bray, of course, coming to us from Van Nuys, California. Is that where you were born, Van Nuys?
Yeah, Van Nuys. Okay. Yep.
All right. You know, when you're looking at the at boxing and in general, when is it? Do you ever tell a guy you got to go away? Have you had to tell a guy, you know what, you don't need to be in the? Because when I told guys that, they went to other trainers.
Right. Right. Same here. Same here. I've actually told a few guys, hey, you've had enough. Leave it alone.
You know,
I told top contenders at the time that they were top contenders while I was training them, I told them, you know what? Dude, you're not going to make it. You're burning the candle on both ends. You're drinking. You're carrying on, and you're trying to be a fighter. Leave it alone. I don't want to see it happen to you. So I'm walking away.
Because, you know, I get amateurs, and I've had a few guys where they don't want to do the deed. What I mean by the deed is running the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
Running the mountains at night. And, you know, I mean, running in the morning. You got to run in the morning. Then you go to the gym, and then, you do your thing during the daytime. And then after the gym, I go running, and then there was a swimming pool at night. So it was like a five-day – I mean, I did the five events in a day when I was training to get in shape. And most guys don't want to do that nowadays. You talk about burning the candles at both ends. Alcohol, man, look what booze does to people that drink and fight. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah, man. It doubles the age process.
That's a good way to put it. You know,
too much.
You know, I was around Joe Frazier a lot, and Joe Frazier had a bad drinking problem. Of course, Joe got arrested one time for driving down the wrong way of a street in Philadelphia, and they dropped the charges, said he just made a mistake. But the bottom line is, he drank a lot. I mean, a lot, and I could just see it taking its toll on him over the years. And at the end, you know, he died of liver cancer, I believe. But the bottom line is, Joe had a mean streak in him, and the mean streak didn't come out, John, unless he was drinking. Because when he wasn't drinking, Joe was cool.
Right, right. That's usually the way it is.
I mean, he had a couple of drinks, and like, he starts grinding his teeth and all that kind of stuff. I'm saying to myself, oh, man, this is not going good. And, of course, you know, I'm doing these, I'm emceeing these events, and you've got to babysit these guys for an hour and a half or 2 hours and make sure they behave themselves as far as in public is concerned, because you don't want them to embarrass themselves. I mean, that's the last thing I want is Joe Frazier to embarrass himself in an event. So the bottom line is, John, after a couple of events with Joe, we decided we would bring in Ken Norton instead. Ken Norton was a problem as well, but not the problem that Joe was.
Wow, didn't know that.
Did not the problem that Joe was. Now we look back at you. Hey, tell me this. You remember the DeMay Boxing Club when Carl DeMay had that jet?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So, Marty Denken ran that.
Marty Denken, may God bless the rest of his soul. Marty Denken, the sheriff, may he rest in peace. Of course, from I can't remember the town.
Great guy. He was from our district. He was, I mean, one of the best boxing guys ever, in my opinion.
You know, Jack Downey was considered the best or the longest running referee in California. He had like 55 years as a boxing license to a referee and official as a judge. He said that Marty Denken was the best. Everybody I know said that Marty Denken was the if not the best, one of the top five referees of all time. Now, I don't want to go that far, but you know what? He taught me a lot.
Yeah. You know what the great thing about Marty Duncan was? He was a fighter. He was a coach. He was a referee. He used to go to Frankie Goodman's. How I met him, I was like maybe 12 or 13 years old. He was, you know, teaching the referees, you know, on mm-hmm. on a Sunday. And I happened to stop by the gym, and I got to meet him, talk with him. And every time I'd see him, he'd always give me boxing tips or a good word of advice, good word of encouragement. Just a solid guy.
Okay. I'm gonna cop to something here. And okay, in Mexicali, Mexico, there was a hotel called, it wasn't a hotel, it was a brothel. It was called the Hotel Bahia. And Marty Duncan had his own suite. No, I'm not putting him down for this. I'm not dogging him. I'm just telling you, he had the Duncan suite. I mean, I almost copped to it right there. We went, what am I trying to say? Bottom line is Marty Duncan knew what time it was down there as far as Mexicali was concerned. And he really, and there was a legitimate brothel down there, and they had a place called the Duncan suite. I kid you not. So Marty Duncan was a good guy. Marty, you know, he got criticized for doing that Johnny Owen fight down there with Lupe Pintor in Los Angeles. Of course, Owen would die of 24 to 36 hours later. And, of course, he went off to Puerto Rico to referee a fight the very next day and got on a plane. And that he was criticized by some of the news media. But what could he do? I mean, it was over with. I mean, he couldn't help the kid out.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
You know, but Carl DeMay, he was a piece of work. Wasn't he that old man, that old rich man?
Oh, yeah. He was loaded. He had everybody. I remember when they called me up, they said, come on down. And I went down there to meet up with Marty Duncan. They already had Oscar De La Hoya signed up.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who is ranked in the top five in the U.S., and from the southwest of the U.S., was in that gym.
You know what's funny is that, or it's not funny, but Carl DeMay, when the real estate market dived, I guess, in, was it 2000, the early part of 2000, somewhere around there, he got out of boxing. You know what I mean? He just did. But at one point in time, John, here's what's up. I was supposed to go to the L.A. Forum with him to go see the fights, right? So I go over to the airport where his plane's at, and he's not there. But the pilot tells me, oh, Carl's not, the boss is not coming. You're going down by yourself. Oh, yeah, exactly. So I'm on this chartered jet. I'm on this chartered jet all by myself. I don't know what the duck to do. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, holy cow. But that's what it was like working for Carl DeMay. You never knew what mood he was going to be in. Sometimes he was in a good mood. Sometimes he was in a bad mood. When his fighters lost, he was never in a good mood. But the bottom line is, when I flew that private jet down there by myself, I was saying to myself, why can't I have a chick?
Yeah.
Why can't there be a woman with me right now? I've got my own private jet. I mean, good Lord. Anyway, that was Carl DeMay. And then one time I showed up at the Concord Airport. He had his plane in Concord at the Concord Airport, and they didn't want to let him take off because of the fog, right? And he wanted to take off anyway. And I said to myself, I explained it to him that promoter Bill Graham took off in the fog in a helicopter and died because of it, and I didn't think it was a good thing to do. So thank God I wasn't getting on the plane anyway, not in the fog. But anyway, they were gonna try to take off against the recommendation of the airport, and that's how stubborn Carl DeMay was. You know, he had money. He figured money could do anything.
Yep.
He was a transactional dude if there ever was. All right. Right now, John Bray, there's no best fighter pound for pound in the world, I don't think, because, you know, Canelo Alvarez sort of time to go, stick a fork in him as far as his peak is concerned. He probably hit his zenith and is on the way, on the down. Is there somebody you think is the best fighter in the world?
Not really.
No, it's vacant, Tom.
There isn't a standout. You know what? And MMA's taken a lot of juice from boxing now. It's not as popular as it was when back in the 80s.
But that's because there's a lack of personalities and superstars. In the 80s, we had guys that, I mean, Marvin Hagler, Ray Leonard, Muhammad, Mike Tyson, I go on and on. We had personalities then, and we promoted personalities. And in Dana's world, you know, and here's what's up. I'll be honest with you. like Chuck Liddell, who was considered the face of the UFC for a long time. Chuck needs to go to the Mayo. Chuck needs medical help. Chuck doesn't know what time it is. Okay, Wanderlei Silva, he has problems. Gary Goodrich was one of the early UFC title holders, I believe. He can't remember what day it is. And this and that. A lot of these guys have severe problems from the UFC, and guess what? The UFC ain't giving them nothing.
No, I agree. Let me tell you something. I've seen it myself firsthand with the MMA guys. I mean, completely shot out, all kinds of injuries, no insurance, no, there's nothing for them. Boxing has, you know, it has its groups and its organizations that look out for the fighters. Those people have nothing.
Well, you know, and it's all about Dana. It's all about Dana. In fact, one guy, I think he got ripped for getting in the ring injured because he got hurt during training. But here's what's up. If he got hurt during training, they didn't cover him medically. But if he got into the octagon and they rang the bell the first time, he was covered medically. He had to get into an octagon and compete with a torn Achilles tendon in order to get his Achilles tendon worked on by a doctor. That's not right, man.
That's not right. Not right at all.
You know, I think Dana White's the biggest pimp there's ever. Listen, I mean, they talk about Don King and his contracts, isn't it? Well, I think Berry Gordy of Motown Records wrote the most slave-like contracts in the entire world. But Dana White's the worst pimp. I've never seen anybody exploit human beings like Dana White, and I was a cop, John, and I saw real pimps in San Francisco, and they gave their hoes a lot more money than Dana gives his hoes. No, you're laughing.
You would know. You would know, though.
You're laughing, but if a girl works for a guy in San Francisco, back when I was a cop, and she got $100 to make somebody smile, she got 50 of that, okay? But the bottom line is, when Dana gets one of his guys going to the octagon this day, and they get $100, they only get $10.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's Dana. That's just Dana. You know, I remember when he came out from East Boston. I don't know if you remember the gangster Whitey Bulger, but Whitey Bulger died down there in Santa Monica. I take that back. He was died in prison, but he was arrested down there in Santa Monica, California, after hiding out for about 15 years. But he was with he was the head of the Boston mob, and he went into Dana White's boxing gym there in East Boston and told Dana, you got to give me some protection money, and Dana wouldn't give it to him. So Whitey ran Dana out of town. Now, had Whitey not run Dana out of town, Dana would have never made it to the UFC and the people that backed the UFC. I'm talking about Fertitta brothers there in Las Vegas. So I'm blaming this on Whitey Bulger. Whitey Bulger had the chance to kill Dana White and didn't do it. Did I really say that?
Yeah, you just said it.
Did I really say that? So, John, how's life treating you right now? I mean, what are you doing?
It's awesome, you know, just here at the house with the wife, my son, my daughter, my two older sons on the East Coast. They've both graduated from universities, have good jobs. Everything looks good.
Okay, and your daughter just won an award the other day. Was it your daughter or your granddaughter?
Yes. No, that's my daughter.
Fantastic,
that's
man. Congratulations. Congratulations to her.
Thank you.
You know, do you think you should have fought Cruiserweight? Somebody asked John Bray, do you think you should have fought Cruiserweight?
Yes. Yes.
Without definitely. A doubt, huh?
Yeah. You know, the problem was lack of discipline, the drinking, the eating, the overindulging in, you know, bullshit. Bottom line, you know, I paid for it, though. Okay. Trust me.
John, final question for you. Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
With that, young man, you have a great, great weekend. I thank you so much for your time. I can't thank you enough for your time. Of course, you're training guys down there. You're telling guys the right things to do, sending them in the right direction. And I applaud you for that, John. All the best to you. And I'll send you a copy of the show, okay?
Okay, thanks, bro.
Okay, great. John Bray, folks, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
If you served in the Marine Corps, by now you know about the contaminated water problem at Camp Lejeune. If you were stationed or worked at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1987, you probably have a lot of questions. We have some answers. You could be entitled to compensation. Billions of dollars are being allocated to pay for damages to anyone stationed at Camp Lejeune during that time.
Unfortunately, it appears that officials may have known the contaminated water problem existed and did little to protect their men. The Semper Fi Code was not honored. If you or someone in your family has developed a serious illness, including various forms of cancer, call this Camp Lejeune legal support line right now. You can't turn back the clock and change what happened, but you can certainly call right now and learn your rights as a Marine. Here's the number.
800-725-1651. 800-725-1651. That's 800-725-1651. Paid for by Legal Alert Line.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If your loved one has passed away due to COVID-19, pay close attention to this message. You could be entitled to a death benefit of over $300,000. The U.S. government has set up a fund to pay families relief if they've lost a loved one due to COVID-19. We know this is a hard time for you, and this fund has been set up by the federal government to help ease your pain. The compensation includes a death benefit and lost wages benefit. Time is limited, so we urge you to make a free phone call right now. There's no cost to you for this claim. All legal fees are only covered once you receive your money. So if you've lost a loved one due to COVID-19, call the legal helpline right now to find out if you qualify for a cash award. Here's our number. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. That's 800-918-4086. Paid for by the IPG Law Group.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Outside call on line 9. Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9.
Check it, 57 minutes past the hour. Hour number one is two of the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Come to you live from the Sports Byline Studios in the city by the Bay, not the city by the Gay, San Francisco, California. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, April 1st, 1984 was when former world, he thought he was going to become a boxer. I'm talking about Marvin Gaye. Remember, I heard it through the grapevine, the Motown star. Of course, he thought he was going to become a boxer. He got started boxing in Detroit, this and that, and he got himself together and this and that, you know, in condition. He was smoking weed and training and this and that. Come on, Marvin! And then he got knocked out. Cold. Absolutely cold. Woke up in another, like, time zone. Bottom line, Marvin realized boxing wasn't for him, but he died April 1st, 1984. Of course, his father killed him. That's right. His father brought him into the world and took him out of the world at the same time. He came and went at the same time. So a lot of mine is he was a formidable foe. I used to see him at boxing events. Of course, we used his national anthem for that great event we threw, the Brawl at the Wall in China. When, of course, we made professional boxing come alive in the People's Republic of China in 1993 for the first time since 1949. Straight up, that was quite an event. And Marvin Gaye, he did the national anthem for that one. Not live, of course, on tape. Straight up, this has been an hour number one of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I want to thank John Bray. Of course, that was pretty serious, going down deep with John Bray, talking about CT, talking about chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CT, brain damage, of course, football, boxing, MMA. Do I have it? I don't know. But the bottom line is, I hope I don't have it. But, you know, there are guys that I see over the years that I went to high school with that played high school football for a couple of years. Guess what? They ain't the same. And I wonder why they were. These guys were messed up they could go to school, they could do things like that. But, like, you could see that they're neurologically wasn't. Something was a little off, okay? And it was high school football that threw him off. I kid you not. Some of the guys never recovered from high school football. When I look back at the coach that we had in South City, his name was Ray DeYoung. He was an asshole. He just was. One time he threw a basketball and hit me in the face when I wasn't paying attention to him because I thought he was a jerk, okay? But the bottom line is, He put guys out there, and guys would get knocked out, and he put them right back in. Little smelling salts. I kid you not. Give him ammonia capsule, and put them right back in the game. Okay, this guy probably damaged a whole lot of people along the way. But that was the whole mentality of high school football back then. It didn't matter. You had to pay the price. You were tough. You got up. You got knocked down. You got up. Not always. Bottom line is football is rough. You, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. After the biased, racist, sexist news coming up at the top of the hour, of course, we'll have hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'll delve into the world of boxing and deep, of course. This hour was all about CTE, and I want to thank John Bray and, of course, my producer in the other room, Anthony Sandoval. Straight up, stay tuned for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide after the biased, racist, sexist news.